Good morning and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5 UMFM.
Radio station.
And online station.
What?
Yes, we are a video game show that comes to you on radio waves and on streaming online.
On the internet.
Downloadable episodes.
Yeah.
If you really like listening to us.
Yes.
Yes. So yes, video games.
Yes.
What are they?
Interactive media source
thing. And yes, that is exactly what they are.
Okay. Yeah!
You get a gold star.
Thank you.
And some exciting stuff has been announced today, because Nintendo Direct happened.
Yes.
And some things are coming out that are kind of cool.
Yeah.
And been given dates.
Sure, yes.
Yes. So, was there anything on there that really interested you?
The Zelda game. That's it.
They saved the best for last, but we'll say it first.
The Zelda game.
Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. It's coming out May 12th.
Yeah.
Next year.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Cool.
If they happen to bring it out that exact time and not push it back.
Sure.
Yeah, so...
It looks like the next Breath of the Wild. Doesn't look like you can play Zelda. Boo.
As far as we know.
I'm sure they wouldn't do it. If they were going to show we were going to play Zelda, they would have done that, because that would have been big. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I care about. Really? You care more. There's things that you care more about. I'm just like, Octopath Traveler 2, something I don't think anyone asked for.
I didn't make it very far into Octopath Traveler because...
I got fairly far, but I just didn't care after a while.
I found the storytelling to be a bit strange.
It's fine. I just don't care.
You just don't care?
It's fine. For those of you who are excited about it, yay. For me, whatever. Yeah.
What about Bayonetta 3?
Sure, but that's already something that I know that was happening.
Okay.
Like, there's most of this is either things that I've... The only slightly new thing, right? Well, there's Pikmin 4 was also announced.
Oh, that's true. I haven't played the Pikmin series, though.
Neither have I, so I've... That's the thing. Like, also, there's a new Fire Emblem. I have no love for either of those series. Like, Pikmin, I at least think is cute. Fire Emblem, I don't care.
Fire Emblem can be fun. I had fun with Fire Emblem.
No, it's too late for me. I don't want to get into it.
No.
Also, it's a tactics game, and I have no love or interest for any of those. Like, none.
Well, one of my all-time favorite games ever is getting a release on the Switch.
Yeah, like, this is... Yeah, see, once again, you care more. There's more things for you.
Except, I don't know if I want to buy it a third time.
Why not?
Because, do I need a not really updated looking version of a game that I have to...
They're never going to remaster that.
I'm really sad about that, because I would love to have that with some upped graphics and some better voice acting.
Yeah, they're just going to keep on making Tales of games. They're not going to remaster it. I would say also if they were going to remaster it, I think it would be Abyss or the one that was on the Xbox.
Xillia? Xillia.
Yeah.
So they are releasing Tales of Symphonia for the Switch. Which I'm excited that people who didn't get to play it on the PlayStation or the GameCube will get to play it. Yes. Or the PlayStation 3 when they re-released it.
Yes.
Or they had the follow-up on the Wii with
New World. Yeah, I'm sure that was fun.
Oh, that was a... You know what? I'm going to reserve my opinion on that one. But yes, Tales of Symphonia coming out for the Switch. And we'll see. We'll see how... No. I will behave, and I will
wait till it's on sale. Oh, okay. I was like, what are you talking? Oh, okay. Actually, I lied to you. There was one thing that was interesting to me.
Okay.
That is not Breath of the Wild, which, whatever. But the people, Spike Chunsoft, the people behind Danganronpa, they're making a new game that actually looks pretty neat. It's 3D, which is cool. Like, all the characters sort of have that very similar Danganronpa vibe, feel, flavor. But it's 3D. Looks like you get to be a 3D character that goes around. I think it's a similar, like, detective investigation game.
Okay.
Which, once again, I've always sort of been interested. I have been interested in the Danganronpa games to the extent that I went on a forum before it was brought over to America or the North of, like, before it was translated. I read through somebody had very kindly translated and put a bunch of screen caps through everything so I could understand what was going on. So that's how I first experienced Danganronpa, which is kind of, and then like 2 years later, they like, you know, we're like, oh yeah, we're, you know, here it is.
Finally a localization.
Yeah. And then there's like three of them now. And it's not like I don't care. It's just that this one, visually looks more interesting to me. And I think that will be a better starting point, especially with how like Danganronpa ends. I thought it was kind of flat. But that's just my opinion. I do think it's neat in general. I don't even know what it's called. It was like Nocturne or something. It's something, it's a fluffy
name. It's a poetic name.
Yeah. It looks cool though. That's the one that I care about. That's it.
Usually this is followed up by a Pokemon Direct, so
I don't.
I mean, that's gonna happen soon.
I love everyone who loves Pokemon, but I just don't care anymore. I do like new Pokemon. I like, fun. But I just don't want to play the games anymore. I'm just
burnt out from the games a little.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, but I play Bugsnax. That's pretty close. That's enough. That's it.
That's your close enough flavor.
It is close enough. I can appreciate, though, Pokemon designs and merchandise. Like, I like Pokemon as a whole, maybe not just specifically the gaming aspect of Pokemon. I can appreciate it for what it is, but I don't want to play the games. Pokemon. That's how I feel. Yeah. I mean, I'll watch the Pokemon movies again. I unironically enjoy those. Like, but I'm just like, maybe I'm just too old for Pokemon, and that just is, or just, I've aged, me personally has aged out, and I've sort of talked about it before, but once again, I think I like the new starters. They're all cute. Little dinosaur, little duck, and a little kitty cat. Good. Like them. Weird motorcycles.
Yes. I can quit Pokemon anytime I want.
Yes, I believe that. We just look at like all the 20 Pokemon games we have. It's okay. Yeah,
it's okay. But we have been playing actual games we own in the present day.
Yeah, let me talk for, did you like the game you played?
I was, okay, I have some opinions.
Okay.
But it was a good game.
Okay, let me go first so I can so I can rag on my game.
Okay.
Just in I did, once again, I feel that this is my opinion, as it always is. And so I played A Hat in Time, which I had sort of been putting off a little bit because I was like, I don't want to get into a 3D platformer collectathon kind of thing. And the thing with this is that I've been told by many people that this is a good game, very fun, enjoyable, etc. And I don't know if there was a point where I actually enjoyed my platforming time or felt that I was like getting the swing of things, kind of like, we'll start with the beginning. It's about you play as, she's called Hat Kid. That's literally it. She is a space traveler for some reason. In her spaceship, and it gets, I don't know, something happens, spaceship explodes, all of your time hourglasses, which is your power, they all get gone to this other planet, and you have to get them back. And, like, I feel I just don't quite understand what the time aspect is, other than the fact that they are hourglasses. There's no time thing. There's no time powers. There's no, like, alternate realities. So I'm very confused about why even bother. You don't go to different eras of time ever.
Or you know what a better title would have been?
What? Hat?
Hats all, folks.
Honestly, that would have been a way better title. Like, see, and that would have felt, that would have fit in with, like, the sort of, like, gimmicky cuteness of this game.
And the fact that a lot of what you're playing looked like it took place in movies and theaters and...
Yeah, shows. So that's one level where, yeah, like, specifically, and then there's another one where it's sort of like a forest, and then there's another one. I just felt that potentially that's just on me, that I was, like, people hyped it up and I believed them. I just felt that it was a very, like, I'll say it's better than Yooka-Laylee, but... At the same time, I think I enjoyed the platforming in Yooka-Laylee better. Like, it felt smoother and something that, like, actually was kind of enjoyable. I found the platforming in this game was, like, it was okay. It's hindered quite a bit by the camera that sometimes really closely follows you.
Just like old platform games.
Well, and the thing is that I feel even something like Banjo-Kazooie, Spyro, Psychonauts, like, all of these hold up better than this, which is all these games are what the Hat in Time is inspired by. Like, I could definitely see the Psychonauts vibes. And it's just, once again, when you're playing something and you're like, I'd rather play Psychonauts. And I do feel like the sad part is that I felt that, like, Yooka-Laylee had a better just, like, flow of what it was. Hat in Time is sort of you go to your hub, which is your spaceship, and you go and look at other... It's the same planet. It's just different places on the same planet through different... what is it called? Telescopes. It just felt... very haphazard, like I would assume there was a lot of thought put into this, but at the same time it doesn't feel like there was. Like, I know this was a Kickstarter game as well, and I do encourage people to try it out for themselves because maybe they will enjoy it, but I found there were sections of that were just frustrating and annoying. Sometimes things weren't very clear about what I'm supposed to do, and I don't understand, like, why is it called Hat in Time when there's literally no time travel, time anything aspect to it.
It looked very much like they picked their favorite things from a bunch of popular games, yes, and made a game out of it.
Yeah, that is, yes, I would say, like, even sort of like, there's Mario Odyssey feels to this as well, and almost the first, like, and it's just, I feel that there are, like, 10 other better platformers that just feel better.
Is it still better than Balan Wonderworld?
Yeah, but that's not hard, and I don't, like, that's why I say, like, it's better than Yooka-Laylee, which I think Yooka-Laylee is not the best game. But it has some decent stuff. And the thing is that, like, it's not like I didn't give Hat in Time a fair shake. Like, I think I did not get, like, 5 of the extra special time rifts. Like, at a certain point, I'm like, I have enough. I'm done with this game. I thought it would have changed at a certain point. I thought maybe where I was at was the midway point. And then that the time aspect would come in where things change, but it didn't. And I don't want to be a stickler, but why are they hourglasses? Is that the only reason? It was disappointing, I guess. Like, I just don't think it's as good as people have said. Like, it has a very high score, and I'm like, all right, I guess it's fine, but. That, yeah. That's how I feel about Hat in Time. I refuse to pay for the deal. The other thing is it felt like a mobile game. Like, there were aspects of it that felt very cheap.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
That's sort of maybe the word I want to give. And it's just sort of like, I don't like a game that just pops up and is like, hey, buy the DLC. Like, I had to, at one point I had to go through like 5 different screens before I could get to the start screen because it was like, hey, look at this. Hey, look at that. I'm like, I don't care. There's some parts, like one part that I did like was there was a haunted house part where you had to hide from something, but I don't know. Like, I don't necessarily need that in my game, right? Like, it was nice, it was actually a sort of fun problem solving part of the game, but yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Hat in Time.
Not just my favorite.
That's okay.
You know, I was going to say one of the Grant Kirkhope was a guest composer. So maybe that, because like, some of the music is pretty decent.
Yeah, that would be why, like, I was so familiar.
That was one of the only parts that I kind of liked was the music. Some of the designs are also okay. Not all. Yeah. That's it.
Hat in Time. I played The Artful Escape.
Yes.
Because it kept popping up on the PlayStation, and it was always there. So I finally decided I'd give it a try because people seem to like it.
And
it is a good interactive experience. It is not a challenging experience.
Okay.
It is more of a story than it is a game, I think. Somewhat more of a story than a game.
Okay.
Which is kind of what Annapurna Interactive does with a lot of the stuff that they put out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was a very beautiful experience. I like the music a lot about this experience, and I kind of want to see if they will do more. So this was by developers Beethoven and Dinosaur.
Okay.
That is the name of the company that made this game. It has an amazing cast of normally film stars, so I'll get through those shortly.
Okay.
So starting at the beginning with the story. You are playing as Francis Vendetti. You are a folk musician who is the nephew of an even more famous folk musician named Johnson Vendetti, who is a Bob Dylan knockoff.
Right, yes. This is the Bob Dylan game.
That similar sort of singing style. He sings about coal miners in the mountains of Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
It is the 20th anniversary since he released his award-winning album, Pines, and you are expected to play a tribute to his album because he has long since passed away.
Okay.
So, you are at a music festival celebrating your uncle whose shadow you are under. Except, Francis does not want to play folk music. Francis wants to shred. Francis wants to do sci-fi concept metal albums.
I was like, when
albums.
You say shred, I was like, he wants to ride on his skateboard away.
No. Well, yes, but also he wants to play electric guitar. He doesn't want to play acoustic anymore.
Okay.
So, this is what you're doing, is you are trying to pass yourself off as a folk musician while having big dreams of writing about space and travels through fantasy worlds. But that's just not happening for you.
Okay.
Until the night before your recital, Francis's recital, you have a visit from a strange creature that is mostly a nervous system in a cape.
Okay, right.
So this is where the game started getting weird and I didn't know what I was getting into. But you do get visited from a creature from a faraway place. And he tells you, you've been asked to perform as the opening act for a famous-ish funky blues player.
Okay.
Named Lightman.
Okay.
Who takes you under his wing and takes you away from Calypso, Colorado to teach you how to be the musician you always wanted to be.
This alien?
Lightman's human. He's initially from Earth, but he's been a famous music player in space for a while.
Okay. Yeah, no, I know. No, I understand. No, I don't.
So you are a folk musician who suddenly whisked away to space to figure out who you actually are. This is a coming of age, finding yourself sort of story.
Oh, okay.
So it's very, I find it to be very movie-like.
Okay. Yeah, well, cinematic sort of, yeah.
Yeah. And it claims to have some platforming, and yes, you can run around and jump, but there's not really a whole lot of challenge with this. And you get to control music. Yes, you can
jump.
Yes. You get a magical laser light guitar that can affect the environment around you.
Okay.
You use it to light up your entire town before getting whisked off into space. And it's a rhythm game of sorts, or a Simon game, I'd say, when you have to go and open different zones to escape into space.
Yes. Yeah.
So those are actually not that hard either. And this is where I kind of have my qualms with this game, is that it is not a challenging game.
Okay. Would you say it more sort of an experience?
It is more of an experience than it is a challenge.
Yeah.
So it is something you can get done within 5 hours. You can spend longer on it if you want, but there's not a whole lot of replayability.
Okay.
Unless you want to go through the story again.
Okay. Well, so, I mean, whatever.
Yeah, so the whole purpose now is that you have to go and find yourself and get back to Earth in time to play at your at the tribute concert for your uncle. Except you don't want to play folk music. You want to shred. You want to go and see the stars and go and challenge the thing called the Glamorgan, who is apparently so fantastic that things will stare at it until they die.
And is this sort of like in space?
It's all in space. There's different planets. You get to tailor your backstory, your celebrity backstory about what planet you come from.
Okay. Do you get to, like, how do you get there? Do you fly or, like, do you have a spaceship?
There is a spaceship, yes. Okay. And it's called the Lung.
Ew.
Yeah. I don't know. It's the Lung.
No, it's just...
You go along this path of light that looks different to every single person. And it's your first first level where you get to slide and run around and play your guitar and just sort of have a good time and figure out what the gameplay is. There's no...
Okay.
Yeah, there's no actual enemies. There's no actual damage you can get. You can fall, but it'll just, like, put you a little further back on the path and you keep going to play. Keep shredding your guitar. It's...
Okay, but you can you die?
You can't die. You'll just get sent back a little ways back on the path. And then you can just keep going. If you miss a jump, that's fine. You'll just go back and try it again. There's no life system.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really...
Yeah. So like I said, you get to figure out your backstory. You eventually get to figure out what style, what your aesthetic is going to be. So you can customize Francis and make him look cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all to impress someone called the Tastemaker.
Okay.
Who's voiced by Lena Headey.
And this is like the ultimate band person or something? Like, what's...
She's the person who will let you go and see the Glamorgan to get you back home. She is sort of like the talent agent who... You meet her at the very beginning, but you don't know who she is until much, much later. And she's like, oh, finally, you're cool enough to actually go and do this. But there's too much folk music in you still. Time to put some doubt into Francis, your main character.
Okay.
So, yeah, she can make things a bit of a challenge. But you also have your laser light show specialist, Violetta.
Okay.
I like her. She's very cool. She's your first person you interact with. And she's like, yeah, you were playing, like, electric guitar with a folk music aesthetic. It doesn't work. You're not a folk artist. So you're going to go and find this guy named Lightman.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So that's her whole shtick, is that she makes laser light shows for you and sets up your stage to make you actually look cool. Yes.
Yeah.
So she's, like, your first sassy friend who just... She's just so grumpy. And I love her so much. And I don't want to give away too much of the plot, but she does save the day, pretty much.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this really is more of an experience. I could have seen this more as, like, a movie, or even, like, a small TV series would have been cool, but...
Yeah. I know what you mean. Like, but, yeah.
And this is more of an art piece than it was a game. But again, Annapurna doesn't
do
challenging gameplay.
Well, not necessarily. Like, once again, I think they are more about, like, experiences rather than,
Yeah, just like how Devolver Digital finds the really wacky, weird stuff.
Yeah.
Annapurna goes for the emotional hits.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I do recommend checking it out. It is still fun. I do kind of wish that they do more with the rhythm game aspect because...
That was sort of an enjoyable part.
Yeah, and the fact that you can, like, make your own music along the way by just pressing 5 buttons and combining them into different chords, that was cool. I want to see that in more games.
Yeah.
I would love to see more music-based video games like this.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I was like, I do like those kind of things.
Yeah. So, that was the Artful Escape. Not so much a game, more an experience.
I mean, once again, that's fine.
Like, and I'm going to go hunt down the soundtrack because it was just...
It's pretty good.
It was pretty dang good. I would play it even just to hear the soundtrack again.
Yeah, like, I would say with replayability, can you make it so that you do, like, get different... Do different music kind of thing?
No, you're kind of stuck between...
Okay, so you only get to sort of choose...
Yeah, you don't get to customize your music either, but that would be a very cool aspect to see in a future game if they ever decide to do this, something similar again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, The Artful Escape, you can play it on the Switch. It came out in January 2022 for the Switch, and it came out last year, 2021, for PlayStation, Xbox, PC.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's everything we have for you for this week.
Yeah.
We got some Switch games to go look forward to.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And I will spend another 300 hours on Tales of Symphonia.
There we go.
No, I won't.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Keep changing.
Bye.